Dear friends, during our last meeting, we looked at chapter 18 and saw that the world population as a whole was lamenting over the fall of Babylon, while other people were rejoicing. This is what we'll read now in the beginning of chapter 19. We'll see two distinct crowds rejoicing at the fall of Babylon. Let's read from verses 1 to 8, chapter 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! A smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. As you may have noticed, two crowds are rejoicing, one in heaven and one on earth. After the intervention of the first crowd, the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures intervene. They are intervening for the last time in the book of Revelation. For afterwards, they will meet up with the elected. Then, from verse 5, a voice asks another crowd to worship, and the crowd worships from verses 6 to 8. Then in verse 9 and 10, which we have not read yet, there are two interventions, that of the angels and the intervention of John himself. So now, let's examine the praises of this crowd which is in heaven. Actually, these two crowds meet with an injunction we already saw in chapter 18, verse 20. I invite you to read it with me. Revelation 18:20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. There is here something interesting, because the whole heaven itself, the whole heavenly society, is concerned about the fate of the earth. It is not only those men on earth who have remained faithful who rejoice at the fall of Babylon, but all heaven rejoices. So, we'll see both crowds expressing themselves. In this chapter 18, verse 20, it is said that God has avenged you on her. And you do remember that actually, he has judged the judgment by which Babylon had judged the children of God. Now, let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. We found the same thing in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, and we heard the 24 elders and the four living creatures in adoration saying, let's read this verse, Revelation 4, 10 to 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Now, if we continue in Revelation 19, verse 2, we find the following. Revelation 19, 2. For truth and righteous are his judgment, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. The text is clear. Babylon was corrupted, and by her corruption she swept along all the earth. And so, it is fortunate that God judged her and that God puts an end to all these things. However, he will avenge the blood of his servants, not by retaliating, but by requiring the blood of his servants to Babylon. It means that he will hold her account. You have shed the blood of my servants, but why have you shed it? The unfairness of this bloodshed will clearly be shown. What comes to light is the truth. Justice will be seen. And it is not in the minds of those who have suffered, nor in the Spirit of God to avenge, to retaliate. It is simply to bring to light justice. And that's what the martyrs were already aiming at in chapter 6, verse 10, those who are introduced to us as the souls under the altar. Now, verse 3, Revelation 19, 3. They said for a second time, Alleluia! A smoke rises up forever and ever. Babylon disappears, and yet the history of Babylon will somewhere be remembered. The smoke from this fire rises up forever and ever. What has happened to Babylon will serve for eternity, and will remember not the pain that was caused in these circumstances, but it will be remembered that to depart from the ways of the Lord leads to unhappiness, to doom. Let's now turn to verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. The 24 elders and the four living creatures themselves join with this praise. The fact that they say Amen proves that they associate with it, and they do rejoice and say Alleluia. And we realize that the concern of these 24 elders is salvation of men on this earth. They are their defense. They certainly have strongly intervened and participated with all their heart in this fierce struggle of the end of time. And all heaven has participated. That's why all heaven rejoices in the fall of Babylon. Let's move forward in verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants, those who fear Him, both small and great." Here, this voice is for those who are still on this earth, God's people. In other words, and we know them, they are the 144,000, and we will have confirmation of it in verse 6. Revelation 19:6. "And I heard, as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns." A loud voice like thunder, like the sound of many waters, we have already heard about it. Remember, in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 on Mount Zion, there are the 144,000. Let's read it. "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder, and I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps." It is therefore the 144,000. They also celebrate the reign of God like the first crowd. They know they are saved. However, I would like to draw your attention to a peculiarity. Revelation 19:6. "Alleluia, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns." We come back a little to the notion of reign of God. When we discussed chapter 12, verse 10, voices were heard proclaiming the kingdom or reign of God. At this point, in this passage of chapter 12, the celestial forces were casting Satan and his angels out. Indeed, when Satan and his angels were gone, then the heart of the angels were fully committed to God, and one could say that God reigned. From that moment on, from the death of Christ, there is no doubt in the hearts of the angels. God reigns completely on their hearts. If we move a little further in time, but a little before in the text, in chapter 11 of Revelation, verses 15 to 17, we also have a statement from the 24 elders. Let's read it from verse 15. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." The reign is the time when God reigns fully in the hearts. And then, at the seventh trumpet, the judgment of the house of God is finished. Everyone has chosen his side. Each one has matured in good or in evil. And for those who follow God, their hearts is fully for God. God reigns. The 24 elders in heaven know it, but it is likely that the elected on earth do not know it yet. It is only when Babylon falls, then, at that time, they know that victory is won, that they know they have nothing to fear anymore, and they give vent to their joy. Remember when we studied chapter 12, what happened? In chapter 12, verse 12, who established the distinction between heaven and earth. I invite you to read it with me. Revelation 12:12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. In heaven, God reigns. There is no doubt about that. The death of Christ brought definite proof about the malignancy of the enemy and the goodness of God. But if heaven rejoices, the earth is still in sorrow because the conflict with Satan will be hard. But now, at this point where we are in chapter 19, it is the same joy that motivates heaven and earth. What was obtained from heaven at Christ's death is now obtained on earth in chapter 19, just before his return. Remember this prayer of Jesus. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, here we come to the time when God's will is done for his people, among his people in heaven, and among his people on earth. And now only do the elect know it. So now, back to our text in Revelation 19. Let's go to verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, the elected on earth know that the marriage of the Lamb has come. And as for the wedding day, the bride gets ready. She is all beautiful, and she expects her fiancé. Her fiancé is coming to get her. She knows it, and she is ready. This is this time that is described in this passage, the marriage of the Lamb. She got prepared, but how did she prepare herself? Well, Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The Greek word used here, dikaiomata, which is the plural of dikaioma, which means justice. It could be translated the righteousness of the saints. However, it is an applied justice. If it applies to a court, then it is the final verdict, it's a judgment, it's either an acquittal or a condemnation. But it is a court decision. On the other hand, if it applies in everyday life, it is a justice lived. So, this is why the translator has rendered this justice by the righteousness of the saints. It is justice lived. I would like to confirm this through the text from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 25-27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This church will stand before Jesus without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy, without blemish. when the bride gets ready for her fiancé, she is just like that. Then verse 9, the angel says, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. John is amazed, so amazed that he will fall at the feet of the angel. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Here is an important text telling us that even angels should not be worshipped. The angel lifts John up. He gently lifts him up, saying, don't do that. I am your fellow servant. My role is to convey the message, and your role also is to convey the message. We both have to fulfill this mission. And this angel declares that he is the fellow servant of all those who have the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus in this case is the spirit of prophecy. About this spirit of prophecy, I would like us to read the definition in the first epistle to Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 4 to 8. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thus, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. It is the testimony that Jesus conveys to his people on earth, giving them gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So, let's keep this in mind. We think that he asks us something hard to achieve, win victory over all sin. But in fact, it is he who gives us strength. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it is he who also will do it.